Hi everyone, this is Taylor and I use she, her pronouns. You're listening to my first ever podcast. During this semester, I chose to follow the Me Too movement specific to New York City. The Me Too movement was founded by Tyrona Burke in 2006 and was created to support survivors of sexual assault, in particular Black and Brown girls. Since then, the movement has grown to support all people who are survivors of sexual violence. Tyrona Burke is from the Bronx and continues her activism work today. I had the pleasure of interviewing Jeannie Yoon, who works at the New York City Alliance Against Sexual Assault. In our interview, Jeannie shares the work the Alliance does around the topic of sexual violence and tells us about their own podcast. Okay, without further ado, here's my interview with Jeannie. Can you tell us your name and the pronoun that you use, your position, and what you do here maybe a little bit?
Sure. So my name's Jeannie. I use she, her pronouns. I have my Bachelor in Arts at Criminal Justice from George Washington University and my Master in Social Work from Columbia. At the Alliance, I am the Senior Campus Sexual Assault Coordinator.
So what is the mission of the Alliance and how does it reflect the mission of the Me Too movement?
Yeah, so I mean, we have an official mission statement on our website, which I have not memorized, but if I can be so lofty as to say that we want to end sexual violence in New York City would be sort of the ultimate goal, right? And in the interim, being able to respond to survivors and be able to influence important policies that affect survivors and victims in New York City. It is aligned with Me Too in that Me Too aims to give voice to those who have historically been voiceless, so women and communities of color and marginalized communities in general. You know, a lot of people don't know or have not heard of the name Tyrona Burke, who Right. started the Me Too movement 10 years ago. And she was specifically trying to give a voice to survivors of color, women of color, back, 10 years ago, before Mm-hmm. Alyssa Milano, I guess 11 years now.
Yeah.
And I'm really heartened to see that she actually did get the credit for the work, because I think it would have been really easy for her name to get swept under the rug. So whatever social media activism that happened this time around, I'm really glad that she is known for this. But there are still a lot of people who don't know who she is. And I have had the opportunity to meet her. She is amazing. She's super funny. She's really down to earth. And so what I really like about the Me Too movement is that it gave voice to people who have historically been disbelieved and dismissed and cut down for sharing their stories.
So has the Alliance been active with Tyrona Burke herself, the founder of the Me Too movement?
Not as one-to-one as she has been with others. I know one thing that's been really cool for her is she's been able to sort of start her own organization and movement through this massive social media movement. We invited her to be a part of our Celebration of Excellence, which is an annual thing that we do every year where we honor six different individuals in different fields. So, for example, a police officer, a SANE nurse, advocate, a volunteer, DA, and I'm missing someone, preventionist. Mm-hmm. We honor six people, and we basically just say, like, thank you for the work that you do for survivors. And this past year, we actually got to honor Tyrona Burke as well. So she came in, we gave her a special award, and like I said, she is very down to earth, super funny, very chill, definitely the kind of person I would want to be friends with, you know, in real life. And so we have been involved to that degree, but we haven't been as one-to-one directly involved with the Me Too movement, with Tyrona, rather.
Yeah. I also saw her speak at Stony Brook University last year, and I felt the same thing. I thought she was so funny and just, I don't know, really catching and really engaging with the audience.
Yeah.
I think that she's awesome.
Yeah, her energy is amazing.
But I would also want to be friends with her.
Totally.
Can you tell us about some of the prevention efforts that the Alliance is involved with in response to sexual violence?
Yeah, so we do there's a lot of work being done with youth programs right now. So I can talk specifically about Project DOT, which stands for Dream, Own, Tell. And Project DOT is really cool. I don't work directly with them, unfortunately. I wish I could, but they do amazing work. And what they do is they find small groups of people who hold certain identities. So in the past, we've had a Black youth identified group, a Latinx identified group, Southeast Asian. Right now, we're working with an LGBTQ identified group, and we're working with young men of color. And the idea behind these small groups, I mean, I think they're 10 to 12 people max, is to have education where these young folks come in once a week, they sit down with our advocates and our preventionists here at the Alliance, They have conversations around healthy relationships, around consent, around bystander skills, and they get to unpack some of the stuff that they learn about this stuff or don't learn about this stuff within their own communities, right? Because, you know, we can all define what consent is, quote unquote, but maybe consent does sound or look different in the Latinx community versus the LGBTQ community, mm-hmm. and versus someone who might be LGBTQ and Latinx, right? And so that's an interesting thing to see the responses that come out from them, and they're really smart. I mean, every massive social justice movement has been led by young people, right? Yeah. And so it does give me hope for the future.
Yeah.
And then they do a social media campaign based off of their kind of 18-week project. So they are paid, which is great. We really like that we are able to pay our interns, our youth. And the hashtag, we are very happy about that. And the hashtag they came up with is really fun. It's hashtag everybody told me a phrase, and then hashtag but nobody told me a phrase. So one of my favorite ones, I don't know if this is appropriate for the podcast, you can delete it if it's not, is hashtag everybody told me to cover up my titty, hashtag but nobody told me about my kitty, mm-hmm. which I just love and is something I never would have come up with on my own.
What action does the Alliance take to educate or train institutions and individual professionals to better respond to sexual violence?
Yeah, so I will say one of the things I specifically do, and this is like my particular role here, is I get to work with a lot of faculty and staff at college campuses. So particularly faculty and staff who have a tendency to form bonds with students, so favorite professors. Some students will go straight to the dean if they think they have a problem, you know, or have something that they need to work through. And so we go to college campuses. I go to college campuses and I do these workshops around how do you receive a disclosure of gender-based violence, stalking, dating violence, sexual assault from a student of yours, and do it in a way that doesn't make it worse for the student, but also keeps you in line with your legal obligations. So a lot of professors and administrators are legally bound to report any disclosures they receive to the Title IX coordinator. A lot of students don't know that. So they go to their favorite professor, they tell them, I'm sorry I didn't turn in my midterm, this is what was happening, and then they don't realize, oh, I just wanted an extension, and now it's at the Title IX coordinator's office, and I'm getting these phone calls and emails, and I'm super uncomfortable. And so, and then on the flip side, we have faculty and staff going, I don't know what to do with this information, because I know I'm not allowed to keep it to myself, but I want to keep it to myself, but I also want my student to get help. And so we do a lot of trainings around how do you support a student, how do you support a disclosure that is trauma-informed but doesn't put you in jeopardy of your legal obligations. So we do talk about that.
So how does your podcast, The Sex Talk Happy Hour, achieve in raising awareness about the pressuring issue of sexual violence?
Yeah, I mean, we try and do a little bit of education. We keep the tone casual because we notice that people aren't tuning into Sex Talk Happy Hour because they don't know about a certain topic. They're tuning in partially. That's part of the reason why the title of the podcast is Sex Talk Happy Hour, is we're hoping someone stumbles upon it and goes, oh, this looks interesting. You know, because if it were a podcast that was called Let's Talk About Sexual Violence, no one's going to listen to that. I wouldn't listen to that, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so we keep the topic broad so that we can talk about everything. One of the great things about this podcast is we really have kind of creative agency to talk about any topic that comes to mind. So I have a bunch of topics I'm really interested and eager to tackle, like digital sexual violence, right? So thinking about sexual violence on the internet. So we talk about everything from that to, you know, talking directly to survivors of sexual violence and domestic violence. So it sort of runs the gamut, and hopefully people are learning things from it. So
I definitely am. Oh, good. I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I was so lucky that I got to interview with Jeannie. If you or someone you know is experiencing sexual violence, you can find local resources on the Me Too website or call the Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-942-6906. Thanks for listening.